Welcome to the Home Building Hero, where we help you become the hero of your new home by providing you all the information that you need. No matter if you're an industry pro, you're building, or you're buying, we got you covered here at the Home Building Hero. We're coming to you live today from the LP Studios here in Wisconsin. I'm your host, David Bellman, president of Bellman Homes. Thank you for tuning in today. All right, I am here today with Ashley Jacobson from System 7. Hey, Ashley, welcome to the Home Building Hero. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. Well, just to give the audience a little background here, I met Ashley at the Tech Home Builder Summit, and I was really impressed. You were doing a presentation about lighting and the knowledge that you have, and I pretty much walked right up to you afterwards and like, we got to get you on the podcast here, and now here we are. So thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you. And I'm so excited to be here. I think that this topic is definitely something that everyone needs to understand and know it's out there.
Yeah. And what's neat is you really have a more technical perspective on this, which is what I appreciate. And there's a lot of things that go into this that I had no clue about. So that's why I'm specifically having you on here, because you can really explain things in a way that, there's a lot more science and technicality behind this than people realize. So especially for home. So before we get into all that though, I want the audience to understand and know you a little better. So first tell me a little bit about how you started off in this industry, what got you in here and what got you to this point today.
Of course. So when I was younger, I always wanted to be a designer and an architect or a builder. My whole family were builders. And so I actually went to school for architectural design and graduated in 2009. And so when I graduated, economy wasn't doing so great. But what I found myself is in this technology world where they needed some help. And so I started with System 7 13 years ago as a draftsperson and trying to understand technology and how it interacted with the building environment. But what I realized is that my background and my technical expertise in, you know, how a home is built actually helped inform our technology systems, our lighting design, and kind of brought a different level to the industry that wasn't there before. And so over the last 13 years, I've combined all my skills together to kind of bring a little bit more insight to builders and other architects and interior designers on the technical side of homes that people don't always understand and they don't have the time to understand it. So we've kind of created this and developed a design world or conversation in the integration technology and lighting businesses that we have.
Fantastic. And you know, I think we're kind of getting into that era of more technical experts getting involved. And, you know, a builder has to be sort of the generalist on this is how this thing goes together. And then you bring in your experts to really make it, you know, an amazing home for someone. And that's, you know, you've kind of started to specialize in the lighting. So unfortunately for a lot of home builders and for home construction in general, lighting is kind of an afterthought. So, yes. You know, tell me, you know, it's not really the case anymore. So what are you seeing these days with lighting and what's happening with it?
Right. And so, you know, early on back in the day, you could go out and buy a 6-inch recessed light fixture, you screw a bulb in. Not much thought was going into that process. You could do it last minute. You could retrofit it. You could new construction it. And it was very, it was more of like a commodity. But now as lighting has evolved, you know, with the LED fixture, there's so much more behind it. There's, you know, Kelvin temperature there, that is it. And we'll get into what those details mean, but what is Kelvin temperature? What is CRI? You know, how does that light make your space feel? And it's very different than what people are used to living with. An incandescent bulb, you know, gets warm and it's, you know, it's very comfortable to live in, whereas LEDs can be cool. And so trying to understand what an LED light will look like and feel in your space and how it's going to make you feel is important nowadays to make those decisions upfront and plan ahead to make sure that your home that you're building is, you know, lit the way you want to see it lit.
Yeah. And I think the original concept behind LED and where it's going now is fascinating, because the original concept was just that, you know, it's brighter, right? And it lasts longer. And those were really the two sell points, right? And now the sell points are numerous, right? And you've kind of touched a little bit on them. Is that a fair assessment?
It is. Yeah. And so I think that when LEDs first came out, yes, you can last 20 years without changing your light bulb. So exciting. But realistically, there's so much more behind it, you know, about, you know, you can make your white kitchen appear to be whiter, or you can make those warm tones in your cabinetry be really rich with color, or you can adjust them throughout the day if you want. And so that type of level of technology and what you can have in an LED fixture is really important to understand for clients and designers.
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, how has LED specifically, you know, innovated lighting for new homes in the last couple of years? How has that pushed the level of innovation?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that we often talk about is that color temperature, right? What is Kelvin temperature? And so Kelvin temperature is the warmth of that fixture is the easiest way I like to describe it. So typically you're choosing between 2700 Kelvin and 3000 Kelvin, 2700 Kelvin being more related to the incandescent bulb, where 3000 Kelvin's related to a halogen bulb. And so,
wait, could you repeat that? So 2700 is like a halogen? Is that correct?
2700 is more like an incandescent.
Oh, incandescent. Okay.
Yep. It's warmer. It's a little bit more of like a warmer tone. And then 3000 is more like a halogen light fixture.
Okay. And then what's like a true LED, like turned up? What is that?
So that Kelvin temperature, 2700 and 3000, is a static temperature. So even when you're at 100% light output, so 100% brightness, you're still getting 3000 or 2700. And so that is something that's really interesting that people need to understand, is that when you dim an LED light, the color temperature stays the same typically, you just get a lower light output. And one of the innovations that have come up over the last few years is what's called color tuning, which means that you don't have to pick that same color temperature at that same intensity. So you can change intensity levels and change your color temperature. So you can get a warmer tone at 100% light output, or a cooler tone at, you know, 10% light output. And so that innovation matters, because no longer do you have to think about, you know, what does your wall color look like under 2700 Kelvin? You can change the light so that your color changes the look and feel of it as well. So that's a huge benefit
then to LED lights, and that you can not only change the intensity, which some of the regular, you know, light bulbs that you had, you couldn't even necessarily do that with some of those, right? Unless you had special dimmers. And then now you can also change the temperature of the lighting. So you can really change dynamically the feel of the room or the space, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct. And so, you know, one of the things we often think about when we're picking color temperature, you know, in color temperature is a little subjective, I should say. You know, you don't have to have a modern house and have a cooler color temperature, or a more traditional house and a warmer color temperature. It's really subjective in how the space feels or your surfaces feel. And so oftentimes we have interior designers or homeowners come into our showroom and put their, you know, tabletop finish underneath the light because they want to see it the way that they saw it at another showroom where they bought it. And so that color temperature matters to bring out those tones the way that you want to see them, or you think that they should be shown after your house is built, basically.
Yeah, this stuff is fascinating. This is why I have you on. This is exactly what I wanted to hear.
And it's so great because it's like people don't think about all these things. And sometimes this is the first time people are buying an LED fixtures when they're building a new home. They've never had to buy it before.
You know, and I've built, you know, thousands or getting into the thousands of homes, and you know, that's not a conversation that I've ever really had. So when you were talking about this, it was just eye-opening to me, because I'm like, wow, I didn't even, you know, you don't know what you don't know, right? And so
exactly,
you know, we're now opening up this whole new world with the lighting. And you know, we jumping back to the Kelvin rating just a little bit, is there like an ideal rating like for an LED fixture as far as Kelvin?
So you want to stay within that 2700 to 3000. Once you get over 3000, it starts to feel really cool. You know, during the day, the sun could be at 5000 Kelvin, which is really bright, but having that in someone's home all the time, you know, even at nighttime, would be too bright. So you want to stay between the 2700 and 3000 and only drift outside of that range if it's very purposeful.
Okay. And one of the things that, we kind of talked about or was brought up at this particular event that I was at was, you know, kind of integrating or combining and matching what's going on in our outside world with the inside world. And, you know, especially like with relation to the position of the sun, and at different parts of the country, you have different, you know, levels of right. sun and the different angles, and that can affect how your house looks on the inside. And now you can mm-hmm. perhaps intentionally change the lighting in the home so that it looks consistent throughout the cycle of, you know, the earth moving around the sun, yes. right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So there's some kind of buzzwords that people can hear in the industry, such as like human-centric lighting, or what's called tunable white, or color tuning. And so what that is that they take some fixtures, there's a fixture called Ketra. It takes into consideration your longitude and latitude coordinates of where you're located and time of year. And what it does is, because it has that tunable white or color tuning feature built into it, it can change the light output plus the Kelvin temperature to be very, very warm, like candlelight, or very bright, like the sun at 5,000 Kelvin. And what it does is that behind the scenes in its processing is it's tracking sunlight so that your inside light fixtures are going to turn on to be the same color temperature as the outside, bringing that natural daylight all the way through your space, which is very, you know, soothing to an extent. Like if you actually demo a light under 2700 Kelvin when the sun is at its peak at noontime, it's very warm. And then when you match the color temperature, it just feels like it, you know, a breath of fresh air. And so that technology is really advancing right now as we speak every day.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And you know, there's studies out there that are, you know, nothing set in stone saying that it can 100% help with your health, but they're trying to do studies to figure out, you know, if it could speed up your metabolism, if it can help you sleep. And so we talk about things like blue light. And so they say, you know, your phone, you shouldn't watch your phone when you're going to go to bed because of the blue light. Well, sometimes during the day, blue light matters. You want blue light in the middle of the day.
Blue light matters. Oh, it sounds like a hashtag.
Hashtag blue light matters sometimes. And so you want to be able to get that blue light sometimes. And
let's go a little more into this. So blue light, what specifically is it? Does it create energy or does it stimulate your mind? Is that one of the issues?
It's a stimulation. Yeah. So that's why they say, don't watch TV, don't look at your phone, or, you know, if you have an iPhone, they have that night shift mode where it's a more amber glow. It's because they're trying to remove that blue light so your brain can kind of, you know, relax.
Even sell glasses now, right? That like block
they
the blue
do.
Light. Yep.
The
okay.
Block the blue light. So it's not, you don't want that all the time. And so, you know, if you think about it, if you worked in like the center of a building, and then you go outside at noontime to eat lunch, and all of a sudden you're energized. Well, it's because the sun is, you know, 5,000, 6,000 Kelvin, and it's bright, and it's waking your body up basically. And so sure. If we're under artificial light all day, your brain and your body is not functioning the way that it's supposed to. You know, back in the day before we were living inside doors, you know, sun was our light, and that's how our bodies.
Well, and the whole concept, you kind of touched on this, and we can dive mm-hmm. further into the health and the wellness part, but the circadian rhythm. And, you know, I was talking to a mindset person, kind of mm-hmm. random topic here, but they were saying like one of the people that have sort of health or mental challenges, a lot of times they don't have a good circadian rhythm. And one of the mm-hmm. biggest things they said that you can do to make yourself feel better almost right away is every morning getting up at the same time and looking outside and seeing the natural light and seeing the sun and looking out the window and seeing that, and then going to bed at the same time, you right. know? And so this is where the lighting part comes in, where you come in and you can really adjust the pattern of living in the home as well, correct?
Correct. Yeah. And so, you know, with lighting fixtures themselves, there's lighting control systems that allow this pattern to happen in the background. You know, you could still override it, turn your lights on to whatever temperature or, you know, brightness that you want. But if you wanted your home to be smart enough to just live the light to live throughout the day the way it's supposed to, it could do that in the background for you. And so it's kind of, you know, it's a little scary. I think people think these things are scary and overwhelming, and I don't need that. But I do think once, you know, the years progress and people live with it, they'll see that not having to think about, you know, when am I going to bed? When am I not? When am I awake? What is my lights doing? What brightness should I have? And having that happen in the background for them will actually kind of give them a better way of living, if that makes sense.
It's like, if you're trying to think of that all the time, it's just like a stressor, like, oh, I got to start dimming the lights or I'm going to not be able to go to sleep. Right. it'd be nice to have right. that. And, you know, just like the lighting is starting to change where, you know, the LED lights, we were just talking about the length of use. I think the concept of smart homes is changing as well in that it used to be a smart home. It's like, well, yeah, you can control it from your phone. That's a smart home, right?
Right.
Now it's like, no, your home is literally adjusting itself and it's adapting to make, you know, either promote a healthier lifestyle or, you know, do these other things like, you know, make your artwork look better or whatever it is.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And just to make your life easier, I guess is the best way of describing it. You know, you don't have to flip on five switches in your room. It makes life easier. It puts them on the right brightness level. You know, to just touch upon the art, you know, the way that art looks. So if we think about art, people paint art under all different lights, right? Some people paint them outside. Some people paint under candlelight. And so you buy this art and you put it in your home and then you immediately put artificial light on it. And so it's not being shown in the way that it was painted. And so one of the things with LED lights and all of this technology that's kind of coming into them is that you can adjust the color of your light, meaning that Kelvin temperature, to be candlelight color versus, you know, sunlight, and display your artwork in the way that it was intended to be displayed. And so we're finding that being more purposeful in the way that you position your light and the light fixture you pick to show that art is very, you know, it's important to our clients. It's important to those end users. And, you know,
especially if you buy something, you know, you buy a really fancy, expensive piece of art, you're kind of doing it a disservice, right? If you don't light it properly. And, you know, again, whether, you know, the artist, obviously, and you can talk about artist integrity and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, when you think about that and you go, yeah, you know, if you spend thousands of dollars on this piece and you want to display it, you probably want to make sure that you spend a little bit of money as well to enhance it with the right lighting.
Correct. And so I think that, you know, the way the industry is going, they're trying to make the lights smart enough to do that for you. And that same fixture I was just talking about that matches daylight, they have vibrancy and fine adjustments in their app so that the end user can make those adjustments, because maybe it's not, you don't want it the way that the painter painted it, but you know how you want it to look. So they can make those adjustments.
So you mentioned, and I have this in my notes to talk about vibrancy. Mm-hmm. So you opened the door and let's talk about that for a second. So talk about vibrancy level. What does that actually mean? And then how does that pertain to the lighting?
Yeah. So vibrancy is kind of enhancing the colors that you want to pop. And so there's two different things here. We're talking about vibrancy, and then there's also something called CRI, which I'll get to CRI in a second.
Okay. Yeah, I had that in the notes too.
So vibrancy. There we go.
Your fountain of knowledge. I love this. So this is great.
I love talking about it. It's great. So vibrancy is more about popping the color. So if you have a painting that has red tones to it, the vibrancy is going to adjust that wavelength so that the red pops out more. It's also, I like to describe it as, you know, when you go to the store and buy an apple for 90 cents versus going to the store and buying an apple for $2, you know, that the lighting in those spaces make one pop versus the other.
Sure.
And so it's like when the red apple looks really delicious and you want to eat it, so it's popping that red color out. And so the vibrancy shift is basically adjusting white light to make that the colors pop out.
Gotcha. And,
you know, a little different than that, but very similar, is something called CRI, which is color rendering index. And that is really trying to get light as close as its purest characteristic, meaning how it compares to sun. So sun is basically the best light, right? Okay. And so we're trying to compare LED lights on how close it gets to the sun color or sunlight. And so if you have a 90 CRI, so it's scaled to 100, 100 being sun, you're getting to 90 or 90 plus, that means your objects are being rendered in the purest form or as close to purest as possible.
Okay, so 100% is like pure sunlight.
Pure sunlight, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so, you know, when we're looking at lighting, even if you don't get all the fancy tunable whites and color tuning and all the adjustments, you still want a good quality LED. So when you're looking at LEDs, you want something that's 90 plus. You want to get as close as possible. And if you go to, you know, like a big box store and you go just buy a bulb, those are usually around like 80 or sometimes some are even 70. And so
products, I mean, I don't actively shop for lighting all the time. Yeah. So do products actually show these ratings on there, or do you have to do research to find this?
Most products show it. If it doesn't show it, it's probably because it's not good. It means that it's probably really low.
If they're intentional about it and they're trying to make sure they're going to want to brag about that and show that probably somewhere on the packaging.
Exactly. Yep. So typically it's like in the corner of a bulb package, or if you're on a spec sheet or specification sheet for a light fixture, it's written right under CRI. So it'd say 80 plus or 90 plus or say CRI 90. And so the best way to think about it, as you get lower, that's like, you know, when you look under like a fluorescent light or like those, you know, anything looks gray, that's lower CRI is going to make things look off, basically. Wow.
So we're seeing how much more detail goes into this stuff with lighting. And so you've talked about vibrancy, you've talked about CRI, we've talked about Kelvin levels. I mean, for a typical residential home, I mean, what's the ideal setup for that? I mean, do you have kind of a best practice for that?
Yeah. So first of all, I think everyone deserves good lighting and good technology, no matter the size, scale, shape of the home. And I think that there's always a good, better, best. And, you know, everyone has a budget. So you want to be careful with budgets and things like that. And so what I really try to do is I think that trying to create a certain checkbox for clients, meaning like, okay, so do you have art? No. Okay. Then we don't need to light walls. We don't need to worry about vibrancy. You know, you're not an artist. That's fine. I get it. But you still want good CRI because you're still going to have a couch and you're still going to have a table. So let's make sure your CRI is in the 90s. And then we talk about, you know, do you worry about human-centric lighting? Do those kind of buzzwords matter to you? And talk a little bit about like, what does that mean to them? And so when they start to check off certain boxes, you can put them in different buckets. There is always a good, better, best of quality lighting and technology. It just matters where do you want to be put in that good, better, best category? And so typically, you know, what we do when we look at a home is we, you know, in lighting wise, we talk about those walls and the art walls and we mark them up on a plan. Then you talk about general lighting. You know, there's certain rules and technical details that have to be provided to light a space, the amount of lumens, light output being provided. And so there's just some guidelines that people could follow to make, you know, something, a small residence even look beautiful under lighting, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. No, I think that does. And, you know, I guess being in this industry and being kind of a specialist in this, I mean, are you seeing more people seeking you out for consultations on this or setting it up so it really does look right? I'm assuming that maybe it's more commercial, but is it really working a lot more into residential?
Yeah, so it is. So a lot of what I see is probably, you know, we have a lot of homes that have dedicated lighting designers, you know, outside lighting designers. And they're already doing this process. They're looking at art walls, they're looking at lumen output, and they're trained technically for that. And so not everyone can afford a lighting designer. So our next step down, what we've been seeing is that builders or architects are laying out fixtures just based on their knowledge of what they think lights a space. And when we have that, what we have is people come to us and just say, here's my plan. Can you just look at it? And then we're meeting, you know, in a space or showing them virtually what light looks like and feels like, and just marking up a plan to make sure that there's enough light and that it's meeting, checking all those boxes. And so I see it both ways right now. What we try to do is those architects that come to us or those homeowners with just architect plans, we try to teach them a little bit. So next time their plans are a little bit better. So just give them some guidance there.
So yeah, there's a lot of ways you can attack this, right? Because obviously one is, like you just mentioned, talking to an architect or talking to a designer and getting mm-hmm. that more on their radar, because they probably aren't thinking about this. But then it's also, you know, the way the building industry is sort of right now, or, you know, it's evolving as everything is. But, you know, the original used to be way back, you know, you didn't even have a ceiling light, say in a room. Now, you know, you have a lot of builders maybe at least putting a ceiling light in, right? That's like a basic. And I know you asked a question at the conference, and I'll be guilty and admit this. So you're like, you know, standard builder practice is fan in the middle of the room and four resource lights on the outside. And I like raise my hand. I'm like, yeah, I'm guilty. I do that. But, right. you know, at least that's a start, but there's a lot more that you can do with this. And that's mm-hmm. where, you know, someone like you comes in and can really take it to the next level and improve it. Cause I don't think most customers even necessarily think this way until they become aware of it. Right.
Really? No, I feel like probably 50% of my customers say, does lighting matter? And it's like, yes, lighting matters. Let's talk about it. And so in the ones that understand it are the ones that have built a home before and probably didn't understand it that first go around. So yes, most clients, this is their first time trying to figure out their lighting and why it matters.
Yeah. And I don't think builders understand it either necessarily that lighting matters until they've maybe been through a process like this and started to evaluate it. And, you know, right. I mean, I remember several years ago, I had a parade model home, and it was a beautiful home, but we picked some paint colors, and the house felt, the layout and the paint colors, it felt really dark and cave-like. And it was like, boy, I wish we would have known some of this, because we probably could have remedied that just with even some
just lighting. Right. Yeah. Well, it's funny. We do a lot of high rises in Boston that we go into afterwards, and we apply technology to it. And it's interesting to see, like, in those, you know, multi-million dollar units, there's no lighting. There's literally a switched outlet and a lamp. Wow. And it blows my mind. It's like, okay, well, let's think about this. And then you have to try to think about it afterwards. And I think that adding just a little bit extra paying attention to that lighting could maybe sell a home for even more, absolutely. Because you're adding value to it.
It's about how it feels, right? So if you go into a home mm-hmm. and it just doesn't feel good, or it feels dark and dingy, mm-hmm. it's probably gonna be harder to sell too, I would imagine. Right,
exactly.
So it's just like the psychology of, like, when you're going into a restaurant, you can smell the fresh baked bread and cookies, you're probably more likely to purchase from there or buy from there. And I'm sure you go into a home and it's bright and inviting versus you know, maybe dull and cave-like. That's
right. And those corners appear dark or something like that.
Or you get big shadows on walls or things like that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
I can totally get that. So one thing we didn't really talk about, and this kind of factors into what you're doing as well, is shades and window shades.
Yes.
And how does that mix up the equation, and what do you do about it?
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up. So the convention that we were at together, someone came up to me afterwards and said, you know, I've never thought about that shades are a form of light control, or a form of lighting. Absolutely. And it's funny because it's often forgotten about. And so, you know, one of the things we think about when we're talking about lighting and lighting control is what is happening at your windows. Because the way that natural light comes in, or the way you control that light in your space, is just another layer of light. It's just natural light. And so when we talk about shades, and, you know, you can make shades motorized, manual, decorative, drapery, we talk about what is that opacity, and how does that light come through? And so opacity is one of those things that is, you know, how much light can come through that shade. And so different shade fabrics allow a different amount of light to come through. So you can say, I have a 1% shade openness. That means 99% of sun is blocked. The feeling of blocking 99% of sun during the day is going to feel different to you versus letting in all of the light.
Absolutely.
And so setting those expectations matter. The other thing we think about with shades is, what does that light do as it's coming through that fabric? So if you have a whiter fabric, for instance, that light's going to be reflective. It's going to make your space still feel really bright because the light is glowing from the shade. Whereas if you pick a dark fabric, that light's being absorbed, and now your room's going to feel darker. So that might mean that although you have your shades down and you have a darker fabric, you might need to increase the intensity of your lights, your artificial light, because the room might start to feel dark. Whereas if you have bright shades, your lights might still be off. You're blocking the sun, but they're glowing, so your space is all illuminated. And so the color matters, the opacity matters, and it then in fact impacts your artificial light that's happening in the house.
So there's literally a ton of things going on with this whole concept. So I mean, if you have somebody that's really, really in tune with this, you've really got a lot to think about, don't you? I mean, not only the position of the fixtures, the type of fixtures, then mm-hmm. you know, these different ratings of them, and then the shades. So
does it all work together in your home?
Absolutely. And then you take that, and then you add the technology piece in, and that you could literally automate all of this, right? And pull correct, it all together correct. Into one system, right?
Yes. And so going back to what we were saying before about waking up and going to sleep in your home, you know, your shades could be doing something similar. So when you're waking, your lights could be starting to gradually come on and your shades are coming up. And so you're waking up in a more peaceful manner than just the alarm clock going off. It's dark. You know, I turn on my artificial light. I'm all discombobulated. So instead of doing that, you can gradually wake your body up and start your day a little bit more happy, I guess would be the best way of describing
it. Sure. No, I love it. And I know, I guess I got aware of this early on a couple of years ago because we were able to put in a really cool fan in our bathroom and it had like a special blue glow light that wasn't supposed to stimulate your brain. Yeah. So that way you could put it on your bathroom. Like if you had to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, and you didn't want to also now I can't sleep for the next hour because I got to wind back down. Right. So you can also apply it in those type of uses too, right? Where you can cast just enough light or use a certain wavelength so that you can at least see where you're going, but you don't overstimulate your brain, right?
Exactly. So setting, and again, going back to like the technology side of it, you could have one button that you press and it illuminates that night light really, really low. And it could create a path to your kitchen. So it goes to your bathroom and then to your kitchen. And so you don't ever have to touch anything else again. It's just illuminated for you. And then when you go to bed, you press the same button and it all goes off. You know, we've had people do all of these same functionalities, like in a time clock, meaning that once it hits 10, your night lights go on and then they go off at, you know, 5 a.m. or something like that. Or the shades go down when the sun is coming in too bright and then they go up at night and your artificial light comes on. So that time clock could be set up and you're in control of it. That's the biggest thing I think too, is with technology, is that back in the day, technology was a little bit, you know, scary to people because you were tied to the programmer, you know, whoever programmed your house controlled your house basically. But so many manufacturers are allowing the end user to have a certain level of programming capabilities that they can adjust those time clocks. They can adjust their scene settings. And that really matters because now that means that, you know, a lot more people can have that functionality, can afford it, can, you know, love it just as much as everyone
you're
else
in full control. And you know, I that example is great because that just reminds me, like I've been in my home for 20 years and I paid a lot of money to have like an audio system and have all this stuff connected. And you know, the guy had to spend like 2 days programming this stuff out and the technology's changing. Like I don't even use it anymore because it's like, you know, I was afraid, like every time I call this guy, you know, I'm getting a bill for $500 to tweak something. And it's like, as a homeowner, at some point you're like, okay, the benefit kind of, or the cost outweighs the benefit. Right. So that's, it's nice that the technology is starting to get there where there's these platforms and these interfaces where you can kind of adjust it yourself. You don't have to necessarily pay somebody or be on tech support for 2 hours trying to get it fixed the way you want it. Right.
100%. And I think that one of the things I try to push, you know, internally to our team is with our clients and our network of designers that we work with, is that if you design it right up front, you have the infrastructure up front, you plan for it, it becomes easy for everyone else down the line. And really, clients get frustrated with technology if it's not set up correctly to begin with. And so we have just found planning ahead is more important than, you know, rushing to get through it or making it an afterthought.
Oh, and you know, I mean, you think about a time spent, you know, planning out the house and then building the home, and you could have a customer that's completely happy with you, right, this whole time. And then all of a sudden there's one little thing at the end, one little irritant, and maybe it's the lighting, maybe it's something else. Right. And that could potentially destroy the entire experience or happiness with the product, right?
Right. And that's one of the other things we always, so with, you know, and I'm sure you get into this with the building industry and, you know, what are the finishes and things like that. But with technology, because it's changing so quickly, trying to get people to understand or set expectations of like, what's that shade look like? What's that light look like? How does that keypad control it? Expectation setting is so hard to do, but is a must do when you're trying to design homes.
So just kind of going, we've kind of went real deep on some of these things, which is fantastic. This is exactly what I wanted. But let's go a little more broad. So what's a common mistake that you see homeowners make with lighting?
They come in and say, I see so many dots on this plan. There's too much lighting. I don't need this much lighting. And they don't understand why it's there. And so trying to get rid of lighting is a commonly done thing that we see all the time. And so, you know,
you don't have to turn it on, right? I mean, you can have it there, but you don't have to use it, right?
You don't have to turn it on. You could circuit it separately. And, you know, the other thing is that a lot of clients say, well, I don't like the, you know, the seeing the holes in my ceiling. It makes my ceiling look like, you know, sliced cheese or Swiss cheese.
Sure. Okay.
Cheese, you know what I mean? Yep. And so.
So they want, you know, that real clean look.
They just want a clean look, but they don't know that there's other things out there. You know, you don't have to see a trim, you can make it trimless. You know, different light fixtures have the lights sit higher in the ceiling. And so that question always comes up, and it's a balancing act of having enough light, but not making your ceiling look horrible.
Okay.
And so those two things are a typical thing that clients come to us and, you know, are mistakes that they automatically just think, you know, this is too much.
No, basically. Makes sense. And I guess just what is some general suggestions for people that just want to kind of up their lighting game in their homes? Like, let's just say for myself as a builder, as I build a spec home or something, and I'm doing the, you know, the guilty of, you know, the fan and the four lights or whatever,
yes,
and just the, maybe the six lights in the kitchen. What's a couple simple things to take it up to the next level?
So if you could, you know, start by, instead of just getting a traditional downlight, if you could do something that has adjustability built into it, you're automatically giving whoever buys that home the ability to adjust that light, to point it at a wall, to point it at a piece of art, point it at a cabinet. So changing it from just strictly downlight to adjustable, you've already upped your game. You've given them a better light fixture. I also think that paying attention to not just trying to light a path or getting from one point to the other point of a room, but do try to focus some lights on cabinetry or your fireplace. Try to bring out some of those architectural elements that are in the home that you're building. We'll automatically give someone, you know, like we were saying before, they walk into the home, they're like, wow, that fireplace is quite beautiful, or that bookshelf is beautiful. Just lighting it will make it appear to be better right away.
So kind of long and short is highlighting some of maybe the key areas or the key selling points of the home would be a good idea.
Right. Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And so I think just those two things, up the fixture to something more than just a downlight, give them something adjustable, and then highlighting the things that you feel are a selling point of the home itself.
Fantastic. As we've kind of talked about a lot of things here already so far, mm-hmm. is there something that, you know, maybe I didn't ask you that you're thinking about that, or that you're like, oh boy, we always talk about this in a consultation and we didn't really talk about it. Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I was just thinking about as we were going through what you should add to homes is the layers of light. So a lot of people just think recessed lights are my lights, or my decorative lights, my light. You want to think about layers. And so we often forget about that there's something, you know, there's task lighting, there's accent lighting, and then there's general lighting. And so general lighting is just getting you from point A to point B. Accent lighting might be, you know, strip lights underneath a bookshelf to highlight your books. It also might be your decorative light, but it's something that is doing something special. And then task light is for function, right? So it's the under cabinet light, so you can cut food underneath the cabinet. Those layers of lights are often forgot about in design. And I think that that's something that people should pay attention to, you know, in going along with the layers of light, how lights are switched together. So like, you don't want your chandelier to be wired with your recessed lights and always have to come on together, because you might want to dim those differently. And that's often something that I see kind of missed in some homes that, you know, had a lighting design just slapped together, is that things are wired together and then it doesn't add value to your space because your chandelier has to be at 100% when your recessed lights are at 100%.
Sure. That's thing I love that luckily I did right on my house is like we have a center island and we have pendants over it, and those are switched separate, so I can turn those on or off. We have recessed lights around it, but then we also have above cabinet lights and we have below cabinet lights. Mm-hmm. And so when you talk about layers of lighting, you could also probably look at it from that perspective too, is that, you know, I've got, you know, three different positions where I have lighting.
Yes.
And that can create different effects in the room. And like,
correct.
What my wife and I do, which I like, is like at night, we won't have the recessed lights on the kitchen, but we might have the above cabinet lights on. So you can still see through the kitchen and walk through because it's in the middle of the home, but yet it's not really super bright and it's, you know, distracting in the family room or another room in the house.
Exactly. Exactly. And I know I joked about the four cans and a fan, but if you think about it, there's no layers of light in that bedroom. You have four cans and a ceiling fan in the middle that may or may not have a light in the center. And it's like your bedroom, you know, going back to the relaxing state, like if you don't have table lamps or if you don't have a beautiful decorative in the center, like there's no layers to that. You're just turning your room on and it is what it is.
Sure.
And just one other thing, when we think about other things to think about, is because LEDs, the way that they're engineered, it's not like a traditional incandescent light where all dimmers work with it. You have to check compatibility. And so oftentimes people get concerned about flickering or strobing of LED lights. And that's typically because the dimmer that you're assigning to that driver or that fixture itself is not compatible. And so planning ahead on how to make sure that your lights are going to dim smoothly is an important detail to just pay attention to.
Yeah, there's, you know, this was just eye-opening, you know, in a lot of ways, because there just is so much that goes into lighting, and there's so much more thought behind it than I think a lot of people really don't understand. I think this is going to be super helpful for a lot of people when they hear this, and probably change their thought process as well when they're buying a home. So I really appreciate all the insight on this. This was fantastic. So if someone wanted to reach out to you, or if they're looking for a lighting consultant, and some help in the design process, how would they get a hold of you?
So the best way would be through email, ajacobson@system7.com.
Perfect.
And we have a team of designers that know everything from, you know, technology to lighting, shading. And so we have a group of people that can help just even answer simple questions.
Fantastic. Well, we'll put the email and the website for System 7. Perfect. Is that just system7.com?
System7.com, and 7 is spelled out.
Spelled out 7. Okay, perfect. Yes. Well, we'll add that in the show notes as well. So for those of you listening, you want to check it out, you can go check out their website as well. And a huge, huge thank you here to Ashley from System 7 for joining the Home Building Hero today. It was great.
Thank you for having me.
Once again, thank you for tuning in to the Home Building Hero, broadcasting live from the Bellman Home Studio. If you haven't already, please make sure to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, and make sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future content. Until next time, I'm David Bellman, signing off.